In this episode, the Big Zuck testifies before Congress, the censorship cancer hits Reddit, and LinkedIn is rolling out native video ads.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What is up? Welcome to episode 146. I got a bro basket. That's where this all begins. A bro basket. B-R-O basket. It's from when a dude sends another dude a basket, and it comes from a company called Bro Basket, which is really funny because that is hyper niche, right? The more relevant you want to be to your target audience, the more you need to make sure that that page or that information or the company is specifically tailored to that target audience. Hyper relevance equals hyper engagement, and I got myself a Bro Basket. Remember back a few episodes ago when I said that the best stories all start with tequila? Well, one of you just couldn't resist sending me the king of all bro baskets. I got a Patron tequila basket designed to create more stories. It's the like the story starter kit. Are you kidding me, Jeff? You sent me a variety basket of Patron. I love it, man. Well, that means I better get you a damn good story in return for that basket of tequila. Stay tuned. I was just in Las Vegas speaking at a conference, and you earned a really good story, Jeff, in this episode. So coming up in a few moments, if you want to see the Patron Bro Basket that Jeff Harrison sent me, just go to the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/146 is where my Bro Basket photo will live. And if you want any information or you want to scope out Jeff, go to swingpointmedia.com. That's swingpointmedia, all one word, .com. And anybody that sends me a Bro Basket deserves to be introduced and honored right at the beginning. Good on you, Jeff, for setting me up for success. Hey, did you watch the Big Zuck last week? Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg testifying before Congress? If so, I'm sure you saw how obvious it was that most of the senators have never even been on the internet before. And they had like no clue what Facebook is, what its business is, how people use it, which led CNET to post this great montage.
Well, how do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
If I'm emailing within WhatsApp, does that ever inform your advertisers?
No, we don't see any of the content in WhatsApp. It's fully encrypted.
Right, but is there some algorithm that spits out some information to your ad platform? And then, let's say I'm emailing about Black Panther within WhatsApp. Do I get a Black Panther banner ad?
Senator, Facebook systems do not see the content of messages being transferred over WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about whether these systems talk to each other without a human being touching it.
Senator, I think the answer to your specific question is if you message someone about Black Panther on WhatsApp, it would not inform any ads.
Okay.
There have been reports that Facebook can track a user's internet browsing activity even after that user has logged off of the Facebook platform. Can you confirm whether or not this is true?
Senator, I want to make sure I get this accurate, so it would probably be better to have my team follow up.
So you don't know?
I know that people use cookies on the internet, and that you can probably correlate activity between sessions. We do that for a number of reasons, including security and including measuring ads to make sure that the ad experiences are the most effective, which, of course, people can opt out of.
Will Facebook offer to all of its users a blanket opt-in to share their privacy data with any third-party users?
Congresswoman, yes, that's how our platform works. You have to opt in to sign into any app before you use it.
If
could somebody call you up and say, I want to see John Kennedy's file?
Absolutely not.
Could you, if not, not, could you, not would you do it, could you do it?
In theory.
Do you have the right to put my data, a name on my data, and share it with somebody?
I do not believe we have the right to do that.
Do you have the ability?
Senator, the data is in the system, so...
Do you have the ability?
Technically, I think someone could do that, but that would be a massive breach, so we would never do that.
Well, well, well. You know, it's really interesting. They're talking to congressmen and senators, and in your mind, you would think that they would have some kind of a understanding, some kind of a belief in the power or how digital marketing or how Facebook even works. But, you know, when these congressmen people and senators, we really had no clue what they were talking about. They obviously had to rely on a staff member to guide them. And most people have very little understanding about the complexities that are built into a social network's algorithm and ad platform. So when a member of Congress would, you know, they'd ask a question, and that first question would get answered during their 15-minute personal Q&A period, that congressperson didn't have enough understanding on the topic of Facebook to modify or adjust their questions. So their second question and then the 10 other questions that followed were just as relevant because they didn't understand the topic. They couldn't modify their response based on the first question. So if the first question had a logical flaw, so too did every question that followed after. They just had to stick to the script. And as awkward as the Congress people were and senators were, well, the big Zuck sure felt awkward up there too, which is really interesting because everyone is acting. They're just acting. They get super excited, politicians. You know, I spent, before I went into, well, before I devoted my time to running my agency, I spent a lot of time in the political space, helping in, you know, programs and also some political campaigns along the way. And I am politically retired now, but I've spent so much time in the political area that I know that they don't have a very good understanding of what's going on. But what they do know is they know how to play a game, and when the cameras show up and there's an opportunity for national exposure, these politicians get really, really excited. You know, there isn't a microphone that they didn't love when it's pointed at them, and boy, do they love networks like C-SPAN that'll play the entire thing. I watched C-SPAN last week, which I consider the sleep channel, but I found myself watching it, staying up and getting interested to see how the big Zuck would handle these questions. And well, it sure was interesting. You know, everyone's acting like this is Facebook's first introduction to elections or Washington or politicians. And I can't seem to figure out why people are acting like Cambridge Analytica is the first and only time Facebook data got leveraged in a general election. Now, in the digital marketing industry, stories about Facebook's involvement in the 2012 election were very public and, in fact, are considered legendary. The marketing leads and even high-ranking U.S. politicians were very public, bragging about how manipulated Facebook information was used in 2012 for that election. You know, the ends justify the means in 2012, and now 6 years later, am I the only one that has a memory? Can't anyone just do a Google search on this? Well, I'm sure we're going to be discussing this in a future episode. Big Zuck's testimony is just a chapter in a much larger story, and it's an early chapter because, well, as Paul Harvey would say, in a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story, so stay tuned. Stay tuned for more on this as it develops. I've got a pretty good idea where this is headed. And I'll make sure when I'm able to confirm and wrap this up that you'll be the first people to know what the politicians already know about Facebook and their involvement in elections. Changes. Well, we should spend a few moments talking about changes. The world changes so rapidly. Technology, the advancements, the content we're engaging with. You know, when my wife and I got married in 2002, we've been together since 1999. That year, 1999, was a huge year in my life. First year I got on radio, my show got picked up. First year I got put onto the number one station in Arizona. The first year I met my wife. First year I started working with Charles Goyette, who went on to be a longtime contributing partner of mine. And he went on to earn a New York Times bestselling book for his first book. And I was honored to be a part of the marketing for that. And in 1999, everything was VHS. You know, DVD wasn't even an option. But by 2002, when my wife and I got married, we weren't sure DVD was even a legitimate format. So when we got our wedding video, we got it as VHS, and they upsold us to DVD. And we thought, well, I don't know what this is, and we'll proceed ahead. And sure enough, somewhere in a box, somewhere, that VHS and that DVD live. And the cool thing about it, and I can't wait to see it, would be the historical context. Looking at my grandparents, seeing them smile, family members that are no longer with us. And video and its output quality changes so rapidly. You know, NAB just recently rolled out, and for those gearheads out there, there are just a ton of new gear. If you're seeing anything that you're loving right now, like maybe that new little Blackmagic pocket camera or something, tip me off. I'd love to hear what you think about it. And I just got back from Las Vegas. I was there keynoting a conference and speaking about the attention economy and how to use the power of video to sell faster. Great crowd from 8 to 9:30 in the morning. And thank you, Jesus, for coffee, right? When I had to be there, I had to be there at 6:30 in the morning. So when I walked through the hotel at 6 a.m. and I walked up to the counter of the coffee place, which wasn't a Starbucks, and I got my coffee. It cost $8.68. And when I went up to the counter and they put up my coffee, I was expecting a $8.68 come to Jesus coffee that was going to set my morning aglory. But what really happened was a normal cup of coffee in a paper cup with a lid and a little cup. What are they called? Those little things you don't burn your hands, was around the outside. And I said, is this my $8.68 cup of coffee? And the lady looked at me and said, yes, sir, it is. Welcome to Vegas. And I think what I liked about it was it was cocky. I would never present customer service that way, but it sure did make me laugh. Welcome to Vegas. Them times, they are a changing. Vegas used to be cheap. Things were free. They got you there to get you to gamble. But now Vegas is pretty expensive. And while I was in Vegas, I recorded my session, and I'll be leaking some of that information to you as we go ahead. Some really interesting questions from the audience. Stay tuned. That'll all be interesting information. If you're following me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, you'll be getting that information regularly. It also will pop up into the podcast. And so does my Vegas story, brought to you by Jeff Harrison and his bro basket loaded with Patron. My speech ended, like I mentioned, at 9:30 in the morning. And what's a man to do? Well, I sat down and started banging away on my Wirebuzz work. I answered client emails and started prepping for my trip coming up to Amsterdam, Prague, and the Stockholm area of Sweden. And I'm prepping away. And then by like 11:30, I'm bored, and I'm never bored. I always have things to do, and I had things to do, but I can't be in a casino all day because this dude don't gamble. Well, I do gamble, but I'm an entrepreneur. So I gamble with everything my wife and I have ever made in a business. And that is enough gambling for me. So recognizing my plane didn't leave till 8 in the evening, what's a man to do? So I grabbed my laptop and started walking through the forum shops in Vegas, in Caesars. That's where I was. And I decided I was going to go find a nice place in the shade, sit out at the pool, and do something I never get to do, but just chill out, work on my laptop, and bang away. And sure enough, banging away on my computer, I could burn a bunch of hours. And I found in the first store a full touristy swim outfit. Like what you're going to wear to the pool. And this, I grew up in tourist towns and in beach towns, and there's no chance in hell you're going to get me in a welcome to Vegas shirt or what happens here stays here or, you know, any of these kind of let's elope at the chapel kind of shirts, blink if you want me. But I had to get something. So I went and bought the swim trunks, a Vegas tank top that said like it just had a big loud Vegas something on it. It was horribly embarrassing. And a pair of flip-flops that say like Viva Las Vegas all over them. And I took my suit and I folded it up inside of my backpack, something I would never do. And I went out to the pool and started answering more emails and creating my content for the week. And sure enough, while I was at the pool, you know those like floats? Oh God, I was so embarrassed in this outfit because I just looked like I was right out of Tourist Grand Central. But while I was out there, you know those floats that, they're not floats, dude, they're mattresses. You know those king-size mattresses that some resorts have all around the pool? Well, at Caesars, the wind kicked up and the mattresses, the king-size mattresses from around the pool got into the pool and then the wind picked up the mattresses, flew right over my head. I had to duck it out and it took out three rows of people right behind me. It was crazy. So long story short, Jeff Harrison, dude, didn't involve tequila, but I'm going to throw down that tequila soon. But it did get me inside of a crazy Vegas outfit. And I'll post those photos in Jeff Harrison's honor on the show notes page. Me, my Vegas outfit before going to the pool, and the flip-flops. Viva Las Vegas, episode 146, wirebuzz.com/146. In past episodes, I explained how important it is for you to have a pricing page on your website. Look, this does not matter. It doesn't matter, this advice, if you are a video creator, if you're a marketing agency, which I know many of you listen, and it doesn't matter if you're B2B or B2C. The truth is, customers expect it now. Why? Because 82% of people do not want to speak to a salesperson until they're ready to make a buying decision, all right? So let's talk about this. When I added a pricing page to my website, it changed negotiation drastically. You know, it used to be that when I'm presenting what we're going to pitch to a client, we would have a big reveal, right? It's like, and then the price, dun, dun, dun. And it would give people sticker shock, right? Because they wouldn't really know what my pricing was until the big reveal. And like most salespeople, I made the mistake of thinking that I was going to add value and add value and add value until I got to the point where when I presented pricing, they were like, yeah, of course I need that. That's so valuable. And your salesmanship is so great and all of that stuff. But I also started realizing that once I added the pricing page, and now a pricing page video, which I teased you about in past episodes, is up there, wirebuzz.com/pricing. I noticed that when I go to give pricing, people don't have sticker shock and they don't run out of my conference room. So what ended up happening is the pricing page allowed prospects to vet themselves, and before I invested any time, allowed them to determine if they can afford my services or not. Now, every business is different. Every business has either standard or custom pricing. In my industry, it's custom pricing. There's no way that I could price out one video and have those same prices be for everybody. Sometimes videos take multiple days. Sometimes they have actors or multiple cameras or animation or 3D animation. And sometimes you have to hire a makeup artist that's going to be there for 2 days. Or like a shoot we did recently, we had 4 makeup artists, right? All those pricings are different, but you can get close enough. And if you're not in the video space, you should be using pricing also, because customers say that that's one of their biggest irritants, that they come onto the site, they look for information. The first thing they're looking for also is price. When they don't see it, they bounce and they continue shopping. Handle objections before they arise. Make sure you have all that information. And you know, in the last couple of episodes, I've been talking with you extensively about how important it is to make sure that your website becomes your best salesperson. The pricing page is just one important ingredient. You should go look at that video we just posted featuring yours truly talking about the pricing, wirebuzz.com/pricing. Look, last week we filmed a national commercial for a high-end retail brand. You might have heard us teasing about it as we were prepping. We do a lot of pre-production. You know, your pre-production allows for precision. And it's like that regardless if you're a video creator or not. Anything in life that you can prepare for will end up having better results. You know, what did John Wooden say? He said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And in pre-production, in your video shoot, you should always be thinking about how you're setting yourself up for success when that shoot happens and when that post-production happens. And so, you know, last week was a perfect example. And the night before the shoot, from the airport, the client went, as former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher would say, the client went a little bit wobbly on our crew. And it quickly got escalated to me. And the client wanted to add the filming of another national commercial to be captured on the same day, with the same crew in the same space and possibly the same actors. This was from the airport as he was flying to Phoenix to be a part of our shoot. And he was writing the script at the airport and wanted to read it to me. And so the team got scared naturally, because it's all about pre-production. And look, if you're new to video, this may not seem like a big deal, but there's 1,000 moving pieces. And I know some people who might be new to video might think 1,000 moving pieces, really, Todd, is an exaggeration. But there really is, especially when you start to tie in the digital marketing strategies and tactics. Everything needs to be in alignment. And videos aren't created quickly. It doesn't happen rapidly. It's actually a very slow and arduous path. Video takes a long time because you need everything to be just perfect. And if it isn't, it'll show in that final product. So I had to, bring the client back in alignment. I had to get a bit stern with him and get him back on track. And at 7 p.m. the next evening, we were wrapping up filming and the team started loading up the car with our gears, The client leaned over and thanked me for not allowing him to jam in a second shoot that day. We just barely made it with the one commercial we had. Which brings me to your business takeaway. People pay you to advise them and to make sure that they successfully achieve their goals. That's what they're paying you for. And sometimes that means you have to help them by getting them out of their own way, right? That means you have to be 100% honest with them. That is your obligation. It is your commitment. And sometimes it means you have to have that very awkward conversation. The client was in our office the next day. It was kind of fun. He was filming in our studio. You know, most of our videos, like 99% of our videos, are filmed in our clients' offices. But this client's a national brand, and it was more fitting to do it in a studio. It was a national commercial for television. But the next day they were in our office filming in our studio for some short social media videos that would be a ton of fun. And like any other shoot day, you got to be on your toes, because something unusual happened, and from behind the glass door of my office, I noticed the video crew taking a break, and then I saw the client and the scripting team go into the conference room, and everybody pulled out their laptops. And sometimes when you're on set, the script needs a little massaging, right? I mean, let's just be real candid. Often it happens on the fly, and it's the same way for video marketing as it is major motion pictures. The script writing team should be there if budget allows, or they should be on phone, or they should be on Skype. And it was super valuable for Wirebuzz to have our writers on set while that was going down. Pretty cool to have the script writing team available at a moment's notice to help bring that client's project back into alignment with the overall strategy. When creative happens on shoot day, that's when the biggest risks happen. Look, in a past episode, you've heard Mark Trapphagen and Eric Enge on this very podcast. Well, they're good friends of the podcast, and they just accepted the award for the best use of video in an interactive marketing campaign for their Here's Why series. If you haven't seen Here's Why, it's a weekly 5-minute video that combines zany fun with real digital marketing insights. You can check it out, Stone Temple. StoneTemple.com is their URL. And look, I'm going to put on the show notes page a link directly to the Here's Why videos and the landing page for that. It's just really good. And over the history of this podcast, I shared with you how my breaking news site was getting 36 million visitors a year back in the day, and it crashed and burned as soon as I started censoring speech on my audience. And once I opened the censorship can of worms, the audience turned against me and started weaving conspiracy theories, and they quickly began resenting me. I even shared the term with you, and you can say it with me. I'm going to say it in just a moment. The term I used to explain the impact censorship had on my site, I called it, ready, here we go, say it with me, el beso de la muerte, the kiss of death, right? And the reason I share that publicly was, well over a year ago, Facebook started censoring, and I wanted to make sure that you knew how that decision was going to impact their business down the road. And I know you're seeing the kiss of death play out right now on Facebook, and censorship has a very consistent pattern of destruction each and every time. It doesn't matter if you're burning books, right? Or you're throwing people in jail for speaking out and exercising their First Amendment, or you're doing it on a website. I know that this is a huge problem, and it's happening in digital marketing. And I saw this story from the San Jose Mercury News. Reddit CEO says racism allowed but not welcome on the site. Now, Reddit has a history of allowing its users to say just about anything. And Wednesday, its CEO said racist language is just fine, officially giving license to the, quote, hatred that already lives on the site, which bills itself as the front page of the internet. And now, now that CEO is backpedaling a bit as tech companies face increasing pressure to police content on their platforms. Reddit CEO Steve Huffman said something to the equivalent of the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I'm sorry. Did Huffman say sticks and stones may break my bones? I swear I just published that same comment about the same topic, online censorship, on my podcast last week with Mark Trapphagen that went crazy viral. Check this out.
There's nothing you could say that I would be offended by. I'm a sticks and stones guy, okay? We used to be a sticks and stones culture. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. There's nothing that you could say that would make me think that you are evil and you should be banned, and I'm sure you feel the same about me, right?
Of course, Mark said yes, but it's just really funny. It's like, what's up, Steve Huffman? I hear you loud and clear, man. We're thinking alike, but the censorship brigade is out there. You have to watch for them. First, they come for Steve Huffman, and I said nothing. And then eventually they came for me, and there was nobody else to listen. A threat to justice here is a threat to justice everywhere. Isn't that what Dr. King said? Right? The Merck goes on to report, in response to a question about whether slurs are against Reddit rules, Huffman said, on Reddit, there will be people with beliefs that are different from your own, and sometimes extremely so. When users' actions conflict with our content policies, we take action. Some Reddit users, aka Redditors, let him have it. Because, you know, there's this nanny police out there that they think they're doing well. They just haven't seen the downfall when censorship takes place. They haven't seen El Beso de la Muerte in action. Quote, you know, you're allowed to advertise for a racist rally that turns into a deadly terror attack relating to Donald Trump, wrote a Redditor called Kitten Cupcakes, referring to Charlottesville. Not all speech is valuable discourse. See, value is really interesting. I'm editorializing right here. Not all speech is valuable discourse, and by letting it exist on your platform, you are condoning its existence and assisting its propagation, said A Year of Prompts. The story in the San Jose Mercury News is quite interesting. You know, actually, I think all speech is valuable. If you follow me on Twitter, you might notice that I changed my profile image from my gorgeous smiling mug to a sign that says, I support free speech. And the speech that I support is speech for people who disagree with me. It's particularly important that you support the rights of people who disagree with you to be able to freely express themselves. That's how we learn, right? But when people start making parental decisions, they start saying, well, not all speech is valuable. And I think all speech is valuable because when you know what other people think, you're better off. Like I would rather know what that jerko thinks than have him be so afraid to talk that he keeps it to himself and acts out in other ways. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And if you disagree with me, it's even more important. Now, you should constantly support the rights of people who disagree with you. Remember, a threat to justice here is a threat to justice anywhere. Discussion and debate are always healthy. You should be comfortable having your views challenged. That is the really great thing. Competition breeds quality. Don't be afraid of it. You want to make sure that your views are accurate. Don't be focused on being right. I'm right. Be focused on being accurate. And the way that that happens, the way we grow, is by being challenged in conversations. And debate is healthy. Recently, a friend exposed a flaw in a long-time held political belief of mine. How lucky I am to be exposed to the ideas that are different from mine. You are the same way, right? Nothing they can say can really hurt you. And once you close the door to free speech, once you stop listening to opposing views or stop having your own views challenged, that's when wars start. And I'd much rather have people debate than fight. Make sense? You know, one of my goals is to share my own competitive advantage with you. I've been leading digital marketing projects for 20 years, and it is super easy for me to see where the road is headed. So I'm often years ahead of the marketing curve, and I love tipping you off super early. Now, you may recall a year ago, way, way back in episode 104, I tipped you off that LinkedIn was going to allow users to natively upload video directly into LinkedIn's professional social network. Directly right now from episode 104. Here I go.
In a sign that LinkedIn is interested in being relevant, I saw this yesterday in Marketing Land, quote, LinkedIn may be the last major social network to add a way for people to share videos natively, but It will share new information about the people who view those videos. What? So cutting edge? You mean you can actually LinkedIn track people that are watching your video content? Wow, right? LinkedIn will finally let people natively upload videos to the business-centric social network through its mobile app. On Thursday, LinkedIn started testing the feature with a small number of users in the United States whose natively uploaded videos will play automatically with the sound off when they appear in people's feeds. Now, people can disable videos from playing automatically in their account settings, but why in the world would you want to miss out on cat videos, right? The company plans to roll out the video sharing feature to all users worldwide in the coming months, according to a LinkedIn spokesperson. Now, this isn't the first time LinkedIn has let people post videos to the service. Last year, the company rolled out a separate app for its most influential users to post short videos. Think of this as being like dry run. LinkedIn dipping his toe in the water, thinking maybe business people would be interested in video. Going on with the Marketing Land article, they write, in bringing the video sharing option to its main app, LinkedIn will add a video camera icon next to the normal camera icon in the app's status update box. Now, people can click the new icon to record a video using LinkedIn's in-app camera or upload clips that are saved on their phone's camera roll. Now, if I was leading LinkedIn, I would make tracking the viewers of your video, their viewing video attention span, part of the premium monthly paid service, which I already pay for. And when I pay for it—
Of course you would, Todd Hartley from the past. Of course you would. It only makes sense, right? And I also let you know that early birds get the biggest growth opportunities. And if you wanted to outpace your competitors, that was the time you should be using video on LinkedIn while others were still lollygagging around. And I also started massively uploading my own thought leadership videos into LinkedIn. In fact, my keynote speaking appearance next week in Sweden was all created from LinkedIn-generated relationships. People that heard me on this podcast, that found me on LinkedIn, and then started following me. And now my followers in Sweden rival any major American city. I'm like David Hasselhoff in Sweden. And then in episode 128, 6 months ago, I let you know this. Listen to Todd from the past.
LinkedIn is finally selling autoplay video ads, finally pushing the ad platform into video advertising. Ads will look like other LinkedIn videos that users can watch in their feed and will autoplay without sound. Now, the reasons are video performs better on its service than any other type of content, LinkedIn said. Really? What a surprise. Welcome to 2017. Welcome to 2010, LinkedIn. It's been a foregone conclusion. And LinkedIn said video posts are shared 20 times more frequently than other types of posts. If you want to magnify, exponentially grow, use video, even on platforms like LinkedIn.
Right. So as you know, as a listener to this podcast, I just try to keep you up to speed on the latest developments so you can be way ahead of the curve. When Dan Tyer from HubSpot was recently in the podcast, or maybe he wasn't inside the podcast, he was in the office and we recorded the podcast, and that video we created, which I post out socially, I think it goes viral within the digital marketing world, okay? And you know, my goal is to, I'm not trying to go viral. I'm not trying to go to everybody and my mother. That isn't my goal. It shouldn't be yours. My goal is to go like micro viral to people that are interested in my information, because those are buyers. Like my mom's not buying, right? There's a lot of people that are focused on creating viral videos that everybody sees, but you know, those videos don't convert. because they're just not relevant to everybody, right? Like my mom, even if I'm in it, probably won't sit through the entire thing. But somebody who's a marketer or a chief marketing officer, somebody like that, well, they are, because it's relevant to them, especially if I'm talking about a topic that they find valuable. Now, when I had Dan Tyer in, and he reminded me that I'm the original smarketer, well, that video had 4,000 views. It got 221 people from HubSpot that watched it. 631 people. I'm just looking inside of my LinkedIn analytics, okay? 631 people who saw that video had the title of salesperson, which is great because I live in the intersection between sales, marketing, video, and ROI, return on investment. So video is a massive business tool. So how did that video with Dan Tyer go? How did it work for my primary target? My primary target, I believe that most of my success in business has been selling top down from the CEO down to their marketing people. So I spend a lot of time trying to influence CEOs, executive directors, and founders. 500 people from that watched that video are my targets. CEOs, executive directors, and founders. 236 of them are marketing specialists. And 140 of them are corporate strategists. And then the numbers get smaller from there. But if you want to look at where in the world people are seeing this, 500 people from Boston, 400 from Phoenix, a couple hundred people from Finland, and a couple hundred people from Sweden, 172 people from the greater New York City area, and it goes down from there. But think about that. The power of LinkedIn to be a thought leader in your space, to create content, and to do it while few people are actually using it. In the next episode, and I'm starting to tease right now, I'm going to be breaking down what LinkedIn is just rolling out for video. You're going to get that in episode 147. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a deep dive into the opportunities. Oh, and you may remember in the podcast episode with Mark Trapphagen, episode 145, I said that I have been tipping you all off for a long time about the instability that's happening with America's social networks and how important it has been for me to show you how you can be doing a lot of these marketing tactics and generating revenue on your own website where you own the traffic and you own the buyer's journey. That's particularly important for me because that's where this whole big road is headed. Yes, social media has a place, but that's all early awareness stage. And you muse people, you meet people on social media and you bring them to your website where they go through your buyer's journey, right? And so we're going to be talking about how in the next episode, how to use LinkedIn, how to take advantage of this opportunity, how to run LinkedIn video ads for your business, and how and why you need to do it before your competitors. Early birds get the worm. And I've been an early bird for 20 years, reaping the benefits. And I'm hoping to show you the light along the way. Listen, stay with me. A lot of interesting things are going to happen on this Europe trip. I'm going to have some free time to create some content because if you put me on an airplane for that long, I'm a content machine, man. That's what happens when you used to be on radio for 4 hours a day. I would create 4 hours of content a day. And if you put me on an airplane, it'll be easy for me to crank out some content. I'm going to be creating videos and be vlogging through Europe on this trip. And I'm going to be bringing that information, the latest trends in video marketing, directly to you. And I'm also going to be bringing you footage exclusively from a speaking appearance or two as I travel. If you want to discover how to win the battle for consumer attention and sell faster, I created a 30-minute webinar where it's me and my laptop and a big old jumbo TV in the office, and I'm breaking down some of my core beliefs in the battle for attention and how smart businesses sell faster. And you can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/speedo. My most embarrassing story ever happens right there. Oh, I almost forgot. Here's a good story. You know how I talk about Girl Scouts and how only 18% of buyers want to talk to a salesperson before they're ready to make a buying decision? You know how I do that? And then I say, and I love Girl Scout cookies, but I don't want to talk to Girl Scouts, and I don't want to be solicited or pressured into buying Girl Scout cookies, though I love them. It should be an indicator for you that no matter how much people love your salespeople or how beloved your product is, they don't want to talk to a salesperson until they're ready to make a buying decision. So you have to transfer the information that's in your salesperson's head. This is one of the biggest disruptions that's ever happened. It's happening in sales right now. You've heard this shtick, right? And then I go, I love Girl Scout cookies, but I don't want to talk to Girl Scouts. So I did that in Las Vegas, and then some guy came up to me, and I'm grateful he did it because I'm here to learn. I'm here to become a better marketer, a better speaker. And he pulled me aside and he said, you know, I can't figure out why you hate the Girl Scouts so much that you had to make them an example in your speech today. And it kind of shocked me because I'm glad he did it. Because I need to hear dissenting views, right? Especially when people disagree with me. If dissenting views were outlawed in our society, I would never know that I was presenting myself in a combative way, or I might have offended someone. And candidly, I'm just using the Girl Scouts as a much bigger example. And in no way would I want to offend the Girl Scouts. But I want to offend salespeople because I think it's important for people to realize that nobody wants to talk to a salesperson anymore, even if they're adorable, like a Girl Scout. All right, if you want to learn how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. I've created a 5-part web-based mini course. It's all video. I teach my secrets to guaranteeing your videos generate ROI. And you can watch those videos. It'd be quite helpful for your business in positioning. And if there's an opportunity for me to come speak at your business or in front of your organization, my speaker's website, toddhartley.com, is where you can find a highlight overview video of me on stage breaking down how to command attention in the battle for consumer attention, which is the attention economy that we live in now, how to win that battle, how to sell faster, and to grow your business without as many butts in seats, okay? That's really what this is all about. You could be scaling your business faster than ever using video in your sales process, and if you do it the right way, like I did, your sales time from hello to somebody handing you a check should go down dramatically. I was able to knock off 68% of the amount of time it took me to convince and convert, which is really 6 weeks. I removed 6 weeks of a 9-week sales process by educating my prospects in video and using those videos before meetings and after meetings so they could retain and watch several times and look at me and know that I am their Sherpa that's going to take them to Mount Everest. You want to learn how to do that? Go to those two pages that I just discussed, wirebuzz.com/speedo and wirebuzz.com/ROI. And if this podcast was valuable, if I gave you information that makes you a smarter marketer, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. You'll hear my podcast episodes from Europe. You'll also get the latest episodes throughout the week. And please leave a really honest rating and review. It's how I learn. You know, I'm here to grow just like you are. And I'm not a know-it-all, so please provide some feedback. If you have some competing views, if there's something I need to know, because no one really hates the Girl Scouts. So if you think there's something like that, please let me know. I'd love it. And a bunch of emails are coming in from the audience all the time. You guys are awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'm going to tip those off. I'm going to mention some of them because my emails have been filling up, and some of my favorites will end up in the next podcast episode. Looking forward to it, breaking down LinkedIn and the video ad strategies and tactics that you and your business should be doing. That's coming up in the next episode. And if you want to see the show notes page for this episode, if you want to see me in my Vegas cheeseball tourist outfit that I went to the pool in, if you want to see my Viva Las Vegas flip-flops, or you want to get some more information that I brought up, some of the news in this episode, wirebuzz.com/146. And I will continue to live up to my commitment for you to make sure I bring you the most relevant news in the intersection where video meets ROI and intersects with sales and marketing. And it's all designed to make you a video marketing master. Peace.